England, the attic.
Charles Dickens was the greatest author of the 19th century, but long before Pickwick and Scrooge, his expectations were both dashed and destined by the hardships of his childhood.
My first setback came when I was just 10.
Young Charles is in the attic with the power books. He's reading Arabian Nights.
From that blessed little attic, Don Quixote and Robinson Crusoe kept alive my fancy.
Charles, close those books and come here.
Yes, sir. I'll be right down.
Charles tucks the book under his arm and descends the stairs.
Charles, I'm afraid we must move to London.
London? That's a long walk to school.
You'll no longer be attending. We cannot afford to pay the baker, let alone pay your tuition.
No school, but because my father had been careless with money, my comfortable childhood came to an abrupt end.
Scene 2, the pawn shop.
The family moved to a poor neighborhood to pay the bills. Charles spent his days selling the family's possessions.
Frequently, I visited the pawn shop to sell the very books on which I'd cut my literary teeth.
Charles enters the shop. An old hag calls out,
"Now, Mr. Henry, do make haste. My children are locked up at home, and I have fear of fire."
The broker, Mr. Henry, glared through a single bulging eye, the other being concealed by a patch.
"In a hurry, ain't you, Mrs. Tatham? What you got there?"
He examines the item she wants to pawn.
"What's this, a petticoat? We must bring in something else, old woman. This is completely worn out if you're only bringing it in here every week."
"Oh, you're a rum, Mr. Henry. It's not a petticoat. It's a silk handkerchief. My husband paid 4 shillings for it."
"Well, I'll lend you 9 pence, not another farthing."
A fracas breaks out in line.
"Now, Mrs. Macon, keep yourself to yourself or you won't get but 4 pence for that flat iron. And Jenkins, you leave your ticket here till you're sober or I won't have you in my shop for no price."
I found it amazing that even in this shameful hole, a standard of decency was still enforced.
The shopkeeper's bulging eye falls upon Charles.
"What have you for me today, Master Dickens?"
"Sir, a leather blather, a silver spoon, and 3 novels.
We saved 3 pence for the blather, 4 for the spoon, and 2 pence for each of your books. That'd be a bob and a penny all told."
"A bob and a penny? But this is the Arabian Nights."
"Sorry, laddie. Folks around here don't do much reading. Where it'd be anyone but you'd be no more than a tanner."
I had no choice but to accept his miserable offer, but oh, how I mourned the loss of my books.
Scene 3, the parlor.
Charles had been taken from his school, moved to a slum, and had his precious books sold away. Yet the cruelest blow was yet to come.
The family gathers to hear a proposal from a friend named Lambert.
"I've secured a job as a manager of my cousin's blacking warehouse. I wish to offer Charles a position."
"A position? How generous."
"But I was hoping to return to school."
"A blacking house, hardly work suited to the eldest son of gentlemen."
"Come, dear. A gentleman can pay his debts. Perhaps this will lead the boy into business."
"It pays 6 shillings a week."
"6 shillings? Well, isn't that exciting? It's done then."
"But how easily I was cast away at such a young age. A more suffering was to come."
"Your sister, Fanny, has been accepted at the Royal Academy of Music. The term begins next week."
So much excitement in one afternoon.
I felt as if my heart were rent in a child's world. There is nothing so fiercely felt as injustice.
Scene 4, the blacking house.
Charles was 12 when he began to work at a warehouse where boot polish was made to put into small pots.
Even today, the blacking house's rotting floors and its old gray rats rise up visibly before me as if I were there again.
The foreman introduces Charles to a group of boys.
"Your work here is to cover the pots of paste. Bob here will show you how it's done."
The oldest boy, Bob Fagan, instructs Charles.
"First you wrap the pot with oil paper, you tie them around with a string like this, then clip the paper close and neat till it looks as small as something from the apothecary shop."
Charles struggles with the first pot.
Well, not like that, you oaf. Look again.
And here he popped me. True, lightly, but popped me he did.
Being a gent won't help your ear. Be quick and ripe, or the foreman will have you hide.
For 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, Charles labored over those pots.
And oh, how I labored. It was dirty, smelly work. I believed I would never be clean again.
Scene 5, prison.
11 days later, Charles' father was sentenced to Marshalsea Prison until his debts were paid.
Each Sunday, I would collect my sister at the music academy and together we would visit him.
Charles leads Fanny into Marshalsea for the first time. They pass a dark stairwell.
Quite a few people live down there.
You don't mean it. People live in that wretched dungeon.
And die there too. Needn't worry. Father's room is much more civil.
He leads her to the upper room, occupied by Mr. Dickens, among others.
Fanny, how are you getting on at the academy?
Gloriously, Father. I have a recital next week.
Charles, I trust all is well at the Blacking House.
Father, I cannot bear it. You must arrange my release. Isn't there a school I may attend instead? Even the most common will do.
No matter how sincere my plea, his answer was no.
Heed this warning. Children, if a man has 20 pounds a year and spends 19, he'll be happy. But a shilling spent the other way makes him wretched.
Charles chokes back tears.
No words can express the agony as my hopes for an education were crushed.
Scene 6, poverty. When not visiting the prison, Charles walked the streets, slowly sinking into the misery of poverty.
As I wandered the sullen avenues, I thought only of my dreary prospects. I knew I was never more than a few shillings away from becoming a street urchin or vagabond.
At the warehouse, the foreman whacks the blackers with a stick.
Speed it up, boys. There's more of the blacking sticky to be got.
If I may say so, sir, the young gentleman slows us up some.
Why is it you call him that? Being a gentleman don't have no merit here.
But a young gentleman he is, well, with his fancy upbringing and book smarts.
He's nothing but a poor little drudge now. Quit, I say, lest it wears on him.
He's a young gentleman, long as I say as much, and today I say the young gentleman is slowing us down.
I cannot deny the sting of the jibes, as indeed I had once fancied myself a gentleman. But now I could do little more than work dirty, stunned as I was with disappointment.
Scene 7, escape.
After 3 months, Mr. Dickens received an inheritance and was able to arrange his release from prison. Charles saw his chance to return to a gentleman's life.
One Sunday, I pleaded with my father so pathetically that his kind nature finally gave away.
Perhaps you're right.
You'd have him give up a good job?
He's miserable and the work is shameful. A boy of his wit should be in school.
But I protest.
I will draft a letter to Lambert telling him of my decisions. Charles, you'll deliver it.
The pace of my footsteps matched the joy in my heart as I rushed the letter to the Blacking House.
But the letter sends Mr. Lambert into a towering rage.
Go, Charles, go at once. I am very much insulted by your father, but I must remember that you have been a good worker. Now go and go the well.
And with a strange relief, I went home.
Epilogue. For the next 2 years, Charles attended school. He was known to laugh loudly at odd times, and why shouldn't he? After all, he'd escaped the Blacking House.
At 24 Sketches by Boz was his first success. It included stories about his life in London streets. It was soon followed by the Pickwick Papers, which became a national phenomenon. The trials of his youth have become the genius of his writings.
I never returned to the Blacking House, and soon my former life became so odd to me that I hardly believed it.
Odd, but thanks to his novels, not forgotten.
My name is Dylan, and I'm playing Charles Dickens, the famous author, and I'm telling the story.
I am Hunter. I'm John Dickens, and I am Charles's father.
I'm Alex. I play James Lamer, and I run the Blacking House.
I am Jacob, and I'm playing the historian.
I'm Trevor, and I'm playing Paul Green, and I work in the Blacking House.
I'm Grace, and I play Fanny Dickens, Charles's sister.
I'm Tristan, and I play the narrator.
I'm Callie, and I play Mrs. Tatham, a pawn customer.
I'm Elizabeth, and I play Elizabeth Dickens, Charles's mother.
I'm Blake, and I play Mr. Henry, a pawnbroker.
I'm Elijah, and I play Thomas, the foreman who works in the Blacking House.
I'm Tyler, and I play Charles Dickens as a boy.
I'm Zach, and I play Bob Fagan. I'm a Blacking House worker.